Well, as much as I loved preaching on the Psalms all summer, I am so excited to talk about Paul and Timothy. What I want you to do before we even begin is ask yourself the question, who is your Timothy? Before we do that, let's pray. Gracious and loving God, in the silence of the stars, in the rolling of the hills, in the heaving of the sea, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, the chatter of a child, the words of a stranger, we feel you, Lord. In the longing of our minds and the calming of our hearts, we know that you are with us. I ask that you allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. So what 1 Timothy is, I want to give it a little background before we dive and drop into it, is this is not a theological textbook. This is a letter that Paul wrote to somebody that he loved. So Timothy joined Paul on his second mission. You can read about that in Acts if you want to go home and do some of your homework. I believe it's Acts 23. And Acts 16. And Paul is not just a boss. Paul is not just a friend. Paul becomes a spiritual mentor to Timothy. And so this letter is being written as Paul has been sent out. He is in Ephesus, and this is a place that is a challenging place to do worship. When I was reading up about it, it made me snicker as a pastor of St. Andrew, because here's how it's described. It was a wealthy, educated, and very religious place to do ministry. And I thought, I know some of those people. But this town also was very spiritually confused. And so really, Paul knew that this was going to be a challenging mission for Timothy. He knew Timothy could do it. But this wasn't going to be easy. And the thing that just is weaved into each part of this letter is Paul's desire for Timothy to remain faithful, to remain true to the gospel. Because there is no greater thing that you can ever pass down to anybody but the gospel, the truth, the life, the hope, the living word of God. And so in this letter, we do know that Paul is aging. There's a sense more of urgency that has happened over the past couple of weeks and months in Paul's life. And so he's writing this letter not as a task list, not as a to-do list, but to a beloved child that he has mentored. And I just thought it was kind of amazing that I started my day today. I might have a little bit more of an accent today. I spent the day in Mesquite, and I'm serving with Chris. So it comes out. It just comes out. So my mom, my sister, and I drove to Mesquite. We went through our old neighborhood this morning, and we had lunch with my third and fourth grade. She was both third and fourth grade, Miss Dorothy Trower, and her student teacher, Ruth Duvall. And so I have preached about Miss Trower before, about the love and the grace and just the overall kindness that woman just oozed into my life when I needed it the most. And I spent the morning having lunch with them at their senior center. Miss Duvall is a little bit more of a spitfire than I remember her being. She's now in a scooter with a rear view mirror. And she said, that's for a reason, because I keep running over people. They've put it in turtle mode for her. But we just spent several hours just catching up. Both of them have had some health issues recently, and just catching up, right? They knew me when I was 8. I just turned not 8 last week. And so it was fun. My mom, my sister, and I just engaging in laughter. The guy that was serving us, his name was Noah. He ended up singing some hymns for us. It was just a delightful afternoon. And I thought, how fitting is it that today is the day that our calendars aligned? When I have been asking the question all week, who is my Timothy? I read a book, I'm doing a lot of reading right now, and I read a book about faith formation by James Fowler this past week. It's an older book, and it convicted me to my core. Because it talked about faith formation is not something that you sign up for in a class. Faith formation is not something you read about. Faith formation is something that happens after intentional, purposeful time with somebody. It doesn't have to be you and me. It can be you and you and you and you. But it is intentional time. And I went to write down a list of people in my life as a pastor. Just as a pastor, so the past 20-ish years, who have I met with regularly? Who have I passed down the faith to? And it stopped me in my tracks, because I can name tons of people that I've prayed with. I can name tons of people that I showed up in the hospital for. Maybe when somebody gave birth. I can name tons of people that I have married. I can name tons of people that I have buried. But I could only think of a few that I have actually spent that purposeful, intentional discipling from me to them. Then I had lunch with Miss Trower today. Now, she didn't preach the gospel to me in third grade. She showed me the gospel in third grade. She showed me how to love well. She was intentional, and I'm still connected with her today. Isn't that amazing? This is the only reason Facebook's good. The only reason. And so I want to start at the very beginning of Timothy, not Tiffany. That's a different movie. And it says, the first letter of Paul to Timothy, and it starts in verse 2, to Timothy, my loyal child in the faith. We can already just feel that this letter's different, right? This letter is, you know, sometimes as Paul writes, he'll write to different churches in different cities, and it typically starts with, hi, I missed you so much, hope you're doing well, stop doing this, and please remember God loves you and do better, right? And I love you too, bye. This starts with the heart. To Timothy, my loyal child in the faith. And it talks about, it uses words like urgency and paying attention and occupying yourself. But then he goes into verse 5, but the aim of such instruction, so instruction of the Gospels, is love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. I want to say that again. A pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. You see, what this letter is reminding us today is the gospel is not something that we must master. This is not something that we can just 100% absorb everything and know everything and be everything. No, the gospel is something that masters. Once we do more than just read, do more than just pray, once the gospel seeps into our core of who we are, that's when we become this person that love comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. So I asked at the beginning, who's your Timothy? I want you to pause and think about who your Paul is. I have several Pauls in my life. Of course, Miss Trower is one that I will always, forever remember, and at a later date, remind me to tell you what she did when I got caught cheating in her class. And this is a time in education where shame was easily done. Names on the board, slaps on the hand, and this was done with love and compassion, and I remember it to this day. I had a Sunday school teacher growing up that he taught third, fourth, fifth, sixth, I mean, he just followed us through. His name's Mike Holloway, and he was just there. He didn't have all the right answers. He didn't know all the right things, but he was there week after week after week. And he showed me the importance of relationship. And he showed me the importance of asking questions of Scripture, not just absorbing it, but letting it absorb me. Because the Scripture goes on later and it says this. The saying is sure and worthy, full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. So I want you to know that this little sentence here in verse 15, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This was kind of like a Christian greeting that everybody knew, right? Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. It was just something that was in the vernacular of this new movement. And without going too far down into Paul's past, remember, Paul was Saul. Paul did not like Christians. Paul, Saul, murdered Christians. And then the gospel absorbed Paul. And he's writing things like this. And he keeps going by saying, for this very reason I received mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus might display the utmost patience. I want you to notice something here. He did not say so that I can display the utmost patience. He said so Jesus can display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever. Amen. And he goes on, I am giving you these instructions, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies made early about you. Because, right, what is he saying right there? I know who you are. It's already been named and claimed who you are, created in the image of God. So that by following these prophecies, you may fight the good fight. And then he goes back to this faith, having faith and a good conscience. By rejecting conscience, certain persons have suffered shipwreck in the faith. Hold on to what you know is true. Hold on to what you know is just. I've asked this type of question before in messages, but as I was reading Timothy today, I wondered, what would Timothy's life be like without this letter? Would he be able to remain as faithful as he was? Would he have the pure heart? Would he have the conscience? Would he lean into the power of the Holy Spirit to lead others faithfully? Now, my response is, yeah, probably. But how much better did he do it with somebody looking him in the eye, writing him a letter? He wasn't there. I know that. You know that. Go with me. Telling him to remember who he is, to remember what he knows, and to go and do and proclaim and be the person that his mother, his grandmother, and Paul have poured into throughout his whole life. We were doing some assessments with the residents this past week, and we were talking about some personality traits, right? And it might shock y'all to know that I have an aggressive personality trait. It can be loud, and I like things done a certain way in a certain time, and at times I've had to take a step back and breathe and recognize that others might be able to do the same thing just differently and learn to appreciate our gifts. But we talked about not labeling that assessments can do sometimes, but recognizing who God created us to be. As I was reminiscing with these school teachers who knew me as a sweet, sweet child. Also, Miss Duvall and her son James and I were friends in high school. And so my mother asked the question, or maybe I did, are any of you surprised that Kim Rankin back then, is now a pastor? And Miss Trower, who just thinks I'm the sweetest third grader in the whole world, said, never. My heart just knew it. I knew it. Well, Ruth, the one in the scooter with the mirror in the back, got this smirk on her face, and she goes, I had a good laugh about that. And it was just funny because in that assessment, two people who have known me most of my life, one thought it was hilarious, and one just knew in her heart of hearts that this is who I would be one day. And the answer is yes. I have both my ornery, bucking the system a little bit, you know, a little crazy here or there, but always I have been seeking and following the Word of God. My good days, I'm better because God transforms my heart. My bad days, I'm better because God transforms my words. Paul is reminding Timothy that this is who he is called to be, that this is what he is called to do. It goes on in this letter, and we'll go weeks and weeks talking through different things, but what I wanted you to hear today is the sincerity, the relationship, the trust, and the grace that Paul is giving to Timothy. Because in this book, In Faith Develop, that I read about, it wasn't just to give one person, it wasn't just to mentor one person and help one person develop a faith. It was then to look at that person and say, now it's your turn. Go and do. And then it's the next person and the next person. I was thinking about the residency program, Colin, and I know I've said this to you before, but if I do this for the next 20 years, so I'm just throwing that out there into the universe, that's 250 young adults that will come through this church in our residency program. If we keep it small, and we know we don't do things like that around here, that's going to be 250 people that this church intentionally pours into, intentionally helps develop their faith, intentionally helps develop their skills, both in the workplace, so that when they go out into the world, they do the same thing for others. Paul is not writing a letter of theology. He's writing a letter reminding Timothy who he is, who he's called to be, and how he should act in accordance to that. So, you know, I'm not just going to preach and not give you something to do this week. Who do you need to pray with this week? Not pray for, pray with. Who do you need to call and say, let's go to Bible study together? My favorite moments in the morning is my cup of coffee with God. And when I am my best self and somebody's name comes to me at that time, I don't just sit and pray for them. That's where I start. Then I call them and say, hey, wanted to check in. Let's go have lunch. Then you move on, and then you move on. Think about just if the people in this room intentionally this next year helped form and shape somebody's faith. And then the next year, that happens. And then the next year, that happens. One day, somebody's going to be talking about you like I talk about Miss Trower and Miss Duvall, who out of anybody in this world was zero surprised that I became who I was today. Because she said, I saw the goodness in your heart when you were six, and that goodness might have come out a little fiery at some times. But that goodness wasn't of you. That goodness was of the love of Christ. And that is what Paul is writing to Timothy, to remember what he knows and to be true to that. So, love with a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. That's all you need to start with this week. The aim of instruction is to love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. And the good news is that all comes from God. We just get to respond out of joy, out of compassion, out of whatever, to move forward in our faith, but not alone. To move forward in our faith in a community, bringing people along with us. Isn't that exciting? So who's your Timothy? And this week, don't just ask the question. Think about who your Paul was and name and claim who your Timothy is going to be this year. Not tomorrow, not for a week, but for a season. Because that is how our faith is developed. That is how our hearts are changed. I know you can do it. If I can do it, anybody can do it. Just ask Miss Trower, or more importantly, Miss Duvall, who had her little smirk on her face when she talked about high school chem. Because I know it's not me. It's through the power and the love and the grace that transforms every moment, because of the power of the cross of Jesus. Enjoy reading Timothy with us the next few weeks, but don't just read it. Let it absorb you. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, as we come into this time, as we go back out into this Texas heat, let us know that we are covered in grace and peace and blessings for what's to come. If that's the beginning of a school year, that's a new job opportunity, if it is a new friendship, mentorship, to help each other love well and grow in our faith. We are loved, sustained, and sent out by the power of your Spirit. And for that, we are eternally grateful. We say this in your holy and precious name. Amen.